It is a very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. Don't forget, we welcome your calls on each and every topic that we do every day. We welcome your calls. Remember, it's your platform, so your calls are what is important to this platform. Without your calls, we don't actually have a show. That's the way it works, isn't it? It's your show, not mine. I'm just a ringleader, so to speak. Anyway, there are two aspects of today that I want to get around to in relation to this particular topic, and I'm going to come to Pat O'Toby in Maine 2 in a second. But before I do that, I spotted an article in the Irish Times there this morning, and I'm sure many of you are aware that Ukrainian refugees who fled to Ireland between 2022 and 2024 will have their welfare allowances cut from September under the plans agreed by Cabinet on Wednesday. The payments for Ukrainian refugees living in the state, provided full board accommodation, will be reduced from the full job seekers rate of 232, sorry, I thought it was 236, I said on Twitter 236, per week to 3880, which is the same amount of money that they paid to people seeking international protection. Because, in other words, the argument was they should have never been treated differently because they are refugees or people seeking protection. There will be a reduced weekly payment of 29.80 for a child. And the cuts in the payments could mean that as many as 19,000 beneficiaries of temporary protection who arrived during the first 2 years of the war and who are not working will get payments at the same level as allowances as those who arrived since March this year when we reduced the payments for the rest. More than 104,000 Ukrainians have arrived in Ireland and received temporary protection orders since the war with Russia began back in February 2022. And this represents 2.4% of the total 5.5 million Ukrainian refugees who fled Ukraine. Now, around 30% of the Ukrainian adults in Ireland are employed, according to the Department of Social Protection, which kind of means, by the way, that 70% are unemployed. And this is of adults, by the way, are unemployed, which is a very high rate. Now, they don't break that down into age, so I can only assume some of those numbers are people over the age of 65. But even at that, it's an extremely high rate of pay. But then again, I suppose you probably wouldn't want to get a job if you don't have a fixed abode or you're living in a hotel or whatever it is, and you're planning on going back to your own country at some point when the war ends, and you're getting a state payment, medical card, accommodation, grants, food, and enough to sustain you, I suppose, while you're here. But it seems the government have called an end to what people have suggested was a very generous reaction by the Irish people to the crisis in Ukraine. And we've become more realistic, as Leo Varadkar suggested before Christmas, in relation to the payments that we're making, that we were over-generous. Although some people will argue that the reduction is too radical and may force people to return to a war-torn country. Most Ukrainians are currently in state accommodation across the country, modular homes, social housing, people's spare rooms, hotels or reception centres. Remember, they get £800 a month if they're staying in somebody's house, for example. And they're still arriving in Ireland, but the numbers reduced dramatically when we reduced the payments back in March. But the question I want to ask today is, do you have sympathy for you remain Ukrainians who may have to return home if the money stops? And I'm asking you that question. So do you have sympathy? The number is 085-122-55. Now, to add to all of that, of course, now as well, Aintu have come out to say that the numbers of officers in the Garda National Immigration Bureau, the GNIB, have fallen in the last 2 years. You would imagine, with a 93% increase in the amount of people seeking international protection last month coming into the country, record numbers, you would imagine they would have increased. But no, they've decreased, which is quite shocking. And Padder Tobin joins me on the line just to discuss that and many other issues, I hope, as well. Padder, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you doing?
I'm good. Padder, this is quite shocking. At a time when we've just announced that June was 93% up on last year, record numbers of people coming into Ireland, the figures predicted by the end of this year at somewhere between 27,000 and 30,000, you would imagine we'd be upping our game, wouldn't you?
Yeah, so, it shows you that the government are not taking this issue seriously at all, and that the government are asleep at the wheel, either, through incompetency or through design. But it's quite incredible that, the size of our Garda National Immigration Bureau is less than 100 Gardaí full-time.
Wow.
And if you look at, rostering, if you look at, holidays, if you look at, leave, if you look at maternity leave, etc., that number available to work at any given time is going to be significantly lower than that again. And, just contrast with the idea that another PQ from Aintu found out that 85% of deportation orders were never actioned in the last 5 years. So this is where people have gone through the whole process of having their application processed and decided upon. And when, after maybe 10 years, the government have decided that no, the person is not an asylum seeker and therefore should be removed from the country, they're issued with a deportation order. And in 85% of those situations, they never left the country, we understand, and the government doesn't know where they are. But how do you enforce a deportation order if you've no Gardaí to deport these individuals?
Is there a breakdown of those 100? Because I'm assuming out of those 100, some are involved in administration in Garda headquarters, and maybe there's some of them have boots on the ground. I don't know. And is there a breakdown of what those 100 people actually do?
No, we don't have a breakdown exactly, but we know what they're responsible for. So they're obviously responsible for the implementation of the immigration laws. They are responsible for border control. So, for example, this crack where the government stop people coming across the border on buses and send them back to Newry, at the moment, they are responsible for that. They operate the immigration checkpoints in Irish airports and ferry ports other than Dublin Airport. So, you know, the likes of Cork, Limerick, Rosslare, etc.
Houston Station there. More recently as well. Houston Station in Dublin too, I believe they're there as well. But how can you spread, how can you spread 100 men and women? And as you said, it's probably less than that because some might be out sick, maternity leave, whatever it is.
Sure.
Right? How do you spread, let's say even 85, if we go down to 85, how do you spread 85 people, you know, or 90 people, you know, around all those ports, do all of those jobs, and on top of that, do all the paperwork involved if you do actually catch somebody, because then you have to go to court, so you have court time and all that kind of thing, because I know some had been brought to court for illegal entry into the country. So how do you spread that amongst 100 people or 85 people? How do you do that? You just can't.
You can't. You cannot. Like, you've got 31,000 people who are in asylum accommodation at the moment, and you have, you know, up to 27,000 people coming into the state this year through that particular process. And then you have, obviously, the people who come in on work permits, student permits, holiday permits, and where those permits, you know, lapse due to time, but remain in the country. There's absolutely no way that that number of people can actually do any of that job at all. And remember, another responsibility they have is to tackle human trafficking. And again, Ireland is on a tier two watch list from the US State Department in terms of how bad we are at dealing with human trafficking. And we're there for the third consecutive year. And one of the reasons is, well, how are you ever going to tackle it when you haven't got more than a handful of Gardaí to actually tackle it? There has been 3 convictions for human trafficking in the last 10 years, according to a PQ that I need to receive back from the government. 3 convictions for human trafficking, which is an incredible situation. So the government is not bothering to resource the enforcement of immigration laws, but that comes at a cost. It comes at a cost because it's creating a chaotic situation. And we have, unfortunately and shockingly, then a number of serious public order incidents breaking out across the country. The worst and most recent one being in Coolock. So it's not a free pass for the government in terms of Gardaí. They have to, mobilise Gardaí.
I know,
but they're mobilising Gardaí for the purpose of dealing with public order offences, rather than actually getting back to the source of the issue, which is the implementation of the law.
I mean, I feel sorry you mentioned Coolock there and a couple of other places, and we can't ignore that as well. And across the country, there are many different protests going on currently at the moment. The government were warned about this in a report. If they continue doing what they're doing, it would upset the social cohesion. And, you know, as much as I disagree and condemn people behaving badly or violently or whatever it is, or injuring Garda Síochána Conor, and vice versa, I also disagree with Garda heavy-handedness too in these situations. But, I mean, we have to look at the root of this problem. And the root of this problem is a badly organised government who are ignoring a really serious problem and causing that social incohesion, if that probably is the best word to use. But the other story today, of course, is in relation to Ukrainian refugees. Now, as you know, in March, we reduced the rate for those newcomers coming to Ireland, and also that only up to 90 days accommodation will be given. Mind you, in my mind, it's just moving the problem from the Department of Integration over to the Department of Housing, because I'm assuming people can claim HAP. But here's the thing, they're going to now reduce it for everybody. Mind you, there's a very high unemployment rate, I'm going to be honest with you. When you look at the adults, only 30% of adult Ukrainians in this country are actually employed. The other 70% are unemployed. And maybe it's difficult with no fixed abode, I don't know, to get a job. But I suppose the government have had enough of it. Leo Varadkar himself said that we were too generous in relation to this. But a lot of people are saying, God, it's a big drop, isn't it? 232 down to 3880. You know, it will discourage people from coming here. Is that a good thing or a bad thing, or should we have a level of sympathy?
Yeah, so first and foremost, our policy has always been based on the idea of compassion and common sense. So where people are genuinely fleeing from war and violence, we want the ability to seek and we help them. But we also need to have the common sense to be able to differentiate between those who actually need help and those who don't. And we know that there are thousands within the system who don't need our help, and therefore the resources you know, needs to be focused on those who need help as such. We've always said that actually the social welfare offering to people from Ukraine and people from other countries should be equalized. Nobody should be getting more than anybody else in this state. Because if you do that, what you're doing is you're feeding into that frustration. You're feeding into that anger that exists amongst some within the community. So we need an equalization of services and provision. In terms of social housing, for example, we've always said that social housing should be delivered on the basis of how long you're on the housing list and your need. And the idea that we have people jumping, you know, the social housing list for any reason is wrong. Now, the other point of this is, if you do provide a social welfare offering that is bigger than other European countries, you're going to create a pull effect in terms of people coming to the country too. And there's no doubt that that has been the case in Ireland over the last while. Now, we mentioned it 2 years ago to the government. We made that argument in the Dáil. Again, the government were, I think, at that stage, ideologically committed to their direction at that time. I think the government has got a wake-up call in recent times in terms of, you know, seeing the pushback from the general population. And as a result, they're slowly reversing on the mistakes that they made previously. But, you know, it has been parties like AIM2 who have been banging that drum all along, who have been making the argument for reasonable common sense in this situation. And unfortunately, the government are only, you know, putting their finger in the air to find out which way the wind is blowing on these issues now, to find out which is the right direction to go into.
But it is a time that we said to the, you know, 104,000 people, you know, that are here in Ireland currently at the moment, you know, particularly those adults, obviously not children, those adults, that, you know, look, you've been here for 2 years now. Doesn't look like this war is going to end anytime soon. It could be a proxy war. Mind you, that all depends on Donald Trump and what happens in America as well in the elections. But it looks like this war is going to go on for a while. You know, you either got to get a job, or, you know, things you just have to be treated like everybody else, because we can't continue to do what we're doing, you know. Because, I mean, when I look at the unemployment rate, you know, it's very, very high. It's 70%. You know what I mean? I mean, they're here 2 years. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. So basically, our job is to provide humanitarian shelter. Our job, where, you know, and there are parts of Ukraine that are horrendous war zones where people are getting killed on a daily basis. Still. And so our job is to try to take people out of harm's way. Our job is, you know, after that is to make sure then, you know, that they have an equal access to facilities while they are here, no more than anybody else. And when you give people, you know, payments of the full level of social welfare, plus you're giving them board and accommodation, etc., that puts them at a higher offering than other people within society. That's unfair. It's not equality. And therefore, it generally creates anger and pushback. And that's what we're seeing over the last while. And it creates a pull factor, too. Our argument at the start 2 years ago was, we need to equalize our social welfare and accommodation offering with the rest of the European Union. It should not be higher or lower, because if it is higher, there's no doubt that pull factor will bring, you know, people to the country just for that reason, not for the humanitarian reason.
Pat, just before you go, general election on the way. Ain't you are going to have a representative and somebody running in every single locality in every area of the country. Sinn Féin missed a trick, I believe, yesterday at their press conference when they spoke a lot of words that didn't really mean very much, to be honest with you. A lot of people are not very, very happy. They're still looking for change. 5 years ago, they looked for change, Pat. They may be looking to you for change. Can you offer them that change?
Well, first of all, AIM2 will be standing on the back of a fantastic local and European election where we made significant gains. In the Europeans, we came ahead of People for Profit, the Labour Party and the Sock Dems in relation to the number of votes that we received. We will be winning Dáil seats in a number of areas. I would say to your listeners, though, if they want change, don't leave it to others. Don't sit on the fence. Be part of that change. Get involved and be active. In terms of any other political party, first of all, you know, I would say I would be sceptical in around Sinn Féin at the moment. I don't think that the party they used to be at all. I think that they have become part of the establishment. They too are not standing up for what they believe in anymore. They're putting the finger in the air to find out which way the wind blows. What people want are people who will show leadership in difficult circumstances, not follow the rest of the crowd. And unfortunately, Sinn Féin have gone in that direction, which has been which has caused, obviously, their big fall in the number of the level of support that they have throughout the country.
Listen, Paddy, thank you very much indeed. Paddy, Toby, and Aintu, I appreciate you coming on. And let me go to Carl if I can. Carl, hi, how are you?
I'm good, Noel. How are you?
Good. Carl, the first question mainly is about in Ukrainian. So we're going to reduce this in September, this payment. It's going to cause a lot of hardship for a lot of Ukrainians who are currently in Ireland. I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to have to either get a job or go home, one or the other. They can claim some other sort of payment on social welfare. I don't know how that works. But realistically, it's going to cause hardship.
Okay, well, I have three letters to answer that. NMP, not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very simple. I mean, there's Ukrainians over here, and they are screwing the system over here for absolutely everything they can get. I mean, we have a Ukrainian family up the road here. I'm not going to say where I'm living, but their house is paid for. They have three cars, and the two of them are walking in Blackrock Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. I mean,
I'm happy to see they're working, if they are working, they're only part of 30%, 70% are unemployed.
Well, it is great that they are walking there and they are paying their taxes back into the system, but the house is still being paid for, and the people who are renting the house off is. We know them as well. They're neighbours of ours.
Yeah, they're getting 800 quid a month or whatever it is. Yeah, they get
800 a month. Yeah, and then the electricity
per person,
pay for everything.
Yeah,
it's absolutely it's wrong. I mean, I'm not going to go on about all the Irish people on the waiting list for houses and that. We all know about that. But something has to be done about these Ukrainians who came over here. They saw an easier life than having to live in the Ukraine. I mean, you know, it's wrong. It's corrupt, as far as I can see. The whole thing is wrong.
Yeah, but to be fair, Carl, if a war broke out in Ireland, mind you, I suppose a lot of people did move when the troubles were in the north. They moved down south or they moved to Scotland. But, if a war broke out, you'd want to protect your family and move, wouldn't you?
You would want to protect your family. The problem is it a proxy war? No. Is it a proxy war?
I'm going to make my own personal prediction. If Donald Trump gets elected, which I hope he does, I believe the war will end very quickly.
Yeah, so do I.
Because I don't support Zelensky. I don't trust the man. I think he's in it for the money, personally speaking. I don't trust him at all. So I think, he's the only one. I mean, I understand that Putin is a dictator, and I get that, and you can't give in to dictators. But the only way this war will end is by people sitting around a table and talks and an agreement. That's the only way the war
ends. And has Putin said he's willing to sit around the table and Zelensky has said no?
Yes.
And many times has Zelensky said no?
Yeah, he said no.
Too many times.
Why would he say no when he's getting billions from America and the European Union to continue doing what he's doing? So,
This is what I've been, I've said this all along, and my wife is under the same impression that he must be making a fortune himself.
Well, he's quite wealthy,
Of course he is, and he was only a bloody stand-up comedian.
Yeah, well, he thinks he's a bit of a superstar going all over the world. Anyway, I don't like the man. I never did. From the very start, people thought he was a hero. I thought he was an idiot. I can't stand him. Remember the first 3 weeks where he was the front of Time magazine, him and his missus and all that kind of carry-on? Look, I just don't. I have no faith in the man. I don't trust him. Anyway, argument.
His missus done up to the eyeballs as if there was nothing happening. Unbelievable. Yeah. No, but anyway, I think cut it down to the €39.
Okay.
Or €38 a week, and then see how many will stay in the country.
All right, listen, thanks for that, Carl. Let me go to Tara. Tara, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are things?
Good, Tara. You believe it should be cut as well?
I do, yeah, I absolutely do. In fact, Niall, I think Ukraine should be paying us to take them in, not the other way around. I mean, not only do I agree that their benefits should be cut, I think they should also be taxed, the ones that are working here. They should be taxed as high as possible so they're forced to pay back what they've already been given. I mean, those that aren't working, Zelensky will just have to dip into the £3 billion he's been promised annually from Starmer and start paying us back. When people here had the COVID payments, they had to pay that back. Why can't Ukrainians start paying back their benefits? Like, what Ukraine is doing to Ireland right now is the equivalent of a parent going to a babysitter and telling the babysitter, you need to pay me to look after my child and you need to cover their education costs and every expense while you're minding them. Like, I went on to the Galway City Council website yesterday. First thing you see on the homepage is text in the Ukrainian language and a big headline that says Ukrainian support information. You go onto the Irno Darren website to buy tickets. When you get to checkout, there's an option to give a charitable donation to Ukraine. I know people who are taxpayers here all their lives. And when we had that big storm in Galway and in Cork there before Christmas, houses and businesses were destroyed. Do you think the government lifted a finger to help any of them? And do you think Éireann Éireann offered customers an option to give a charitable donation to a storm relief fund? Mm. Not a hope. Mm. There was one man in Galway, he had to abandon his house because the government wouldn't help him with costs, even though they were on RTE saying they would help everyone affected. My friend down in Cork, she was talking to her Ukrainian neighbour, and the neighbour was saying that she was a pharmacist over in Ukraine, and she gets more here on social welfare a week than she earned per month over in Ukraine.
Well, that would be
She's not leaving. Like, yeah. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. There's even an Irishman that I know with a disability, and he was on the housing list for quite some time. And he and others, they knew where they were going to be, which estate they were going to be getting the houses in. And they'd been promised it. And then all of a sudden they were told, no, you're being pushed back by about 6 months to a year because we're giving the houses to Ukrainians. It's like, why are we pushing everybody else?
Point that Paddy Tobin makes, that it should be an equal system for everybody, but it's not, unfortunately. Yeah. What happened was people from Ukraine were prioritised when they came to Ireland. And we saw that with the modular homes down in Charlestown and Cork, was it? Or Charleville.
That's wrong. I don't agree with building the modular homes here. It's only the east of Ukraine that's at war. Why can't we build modular homes out there? I mean, I understand helping other countries helped us when we needed it. That's fair. But there has to be a time limit. There has to be a cut-off point.
Well, I have a friend of mine just went to a wedding in Ukraine, and he said it was lovely. He was there, and I went. I had to go back about a month ago. Yeah.
The Ukrainians can go back for holidays and then go back for Christmas. Like, it's clearly, it's not all in a no-go zone.
To be fair, there's always a risk. You know, there have been, one or two random strikes. It is a bit of a risk, obviously. But generally speaking, most of the country is perfectly safe.
But I just can't understand why we can't build these modular homes over in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why can't we do that there and give them employment, give people, produce, if we have to build these homes, build it over there and either give some employment to maybe 50% of Irish people who are willing to travel and 50% of the employment of building these homes to Ukrainians over there that are out of work and do it that way. So then they're earning the benefits. But I do think it's time that they were taxed and that they start paying back what they've been given. Like I said, when people were on the COVID payments, they had to pay that back.
Now, they can use other social welfare methods once this payment is reduced. But here's the thing. They would have to be means tested, because at the moment, Ukrainians coming to Ireland are not means tested. In other words, we give them a medical card with no means test, whereas Irish people have to be means tested to get a medical card. We also give them payments without a means test. To get payments in this country, if you're Irish, you must be means tested to see how much money you've got in the bank, if we should be giving you payments. But Ukrainians, they can be the wealthiest people in the world, come over here and still get a payment, still get a medical card, still get accommodation, still get all of the benefits, which is bizarre.
It's ridiculous. The people coming here, they have money. That's how they were able to afford to come here. And I'm sorry, maybe I'm being a bit cold, but I don't think you should be rewarded for fleeing your country when it needs you the most.
Yeah, now I know Ukrainian GDP went down, but it has gone back up again. It went down, obviously, when the war started by something like 60%, but it is back up again. So just to let people know, obviously, it's a bigger population, but Ukraine's GDP is $609 billion in 2023. Ireland's was $533 billion. So they're way ahead of us. But stay there. But maybe you've got a good point, Tara. You know, maybe Zelensky should be paying us to look after his citizens. Let me go to Angela. Angela, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
I'm hearing very little sympathy here for Ukrainian people in Ireland.
I think it's an awful drop. I think it's an awful drop just to go, you're going from this to this.
232 down to 38, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot to drop it. You know, I mean, there's people coming in from countries all over the world, and, you know, it should be just put over to job seekers or something like that.
Yeah, but we're not Santa Claus. You know, we can't be just Santa Claus for the rest of our lives. You know what I mean?
I know we can't. But the thing is, it's all coming from the EU. Am I right?
Which? The money?
Yeah.
No. Some of it is. We do get some money. Yeah, we get funding. But not all the money is coming from the EU. You know, it's coming from taxpayers' pockets.
Yeah, I know. But
we spent $4.4 billion, I think, last year.
Yeah. But Niall, the thing is, if you're on job seekers and you're genuinely going, you're looking for jobs and you can't get one or it doesn't suit. And sometimes it doesn't suit. you know, as
I understand, like, they don't have a fixed abode. Maybe they're living in a hotel or something like that. It's difficult. I understand that. But the unemployment rate amongst Ukrainians in Ireland, Angela, it's 70%.
Yes, I understand that.
The unemployment rate in this country is 5%. And even at that, by the way, those 5% are usually just lazy shits who don't want to get a job, right? 70% have decided not to get a job. So they've been here for 2 years. And because, obviously, the state payments are enough, including their accommodation, food and everything else that they get, the grants and everything else they get, they've decided there's no need to get a job, obviously.
But, well, obviously, it's like the people out, the Irish people out there who couldn't be arsed getting a job anyway.
Mm.
But I just think, you know, you people out there with families, with kids that are living in hotels and you're telling them to live on €38 a week.
Well, you can't live on... Well, no, hold on. The whole idea is that you can't live on €38 a week. So it's more or less saying either get a job or go home. That's kind of what it's saying, isn't it?
Yeah, it is saying that. But I think it's an awful lot. You know, when are they going introducing this? Is it in the
September? Well, they've already introduced it for new people coming over in March, but for everybody else...
Yeah, for new people coming over. Yeah, okay. That's a deterrent.
Okay, that's fine. And that did reduce the numbers coming in, right? Surprisingly. Well, actually, unsurprisingly. But it's going to be for everybody else now in September. The other thing as well, on top of reducing the money, is they will only be providing accommodation for 90 days. Now, I don't know what happens after 90 days. They chuffed them out in the streets or what. I don't know.
See, that's it. That's what I'm thinking. Like, if you're going to take all that money off of someone and take all their accommodation, we are just going into shanty towns. That's what we're going to have. We're just going to have more and more tents and cities built out of tents because there's nowhere for them to go. Now, it's a 50-50 because hopefully our economy will go back up with tourism and everything because they won't be allowed to stay in the hotels. But I think just to turn around and say, right, in 6-7 weeks' time, your money's dropping like that, I think it's an awful hit.
Okay, well hang on. Stay there for a second, Angela. Charles, how you doing?
Noel, how you doing?
Angela kind of feels sorry for them. She thinks it's a bit tough, you know what I mean?
Noel, did you not say on the show a couple of months ago that they would just give their payment? Get a job seeker's allowance or something like that.
Say that. Oh, they're just, they can, at the moment.
They're going to sit in the books around here. There's an election coming up and a budget coming up. They're going to say, oh, well, we've saved so many €100 million out by taking the Ukrainians off 238 or whatever it is a week and putting them at the €238 a week. And it's not, it's just going to be coming from a different part of the finances of the country. So don't be under any illusion that anybody from Ukraine or anyone else that's on these payments will be taking a loss, because they won't be taking a loss. That's the big picture here. This whole left wing get people pointing against you, that back and forth, like saying, oh, get the left on, get the right on and all. It's all a charade, man. Like, nobody's going to be getting fucking 228 to €238 a week.
Well, at the moment, people seeking international protection, mind you, they say people seeking international protection are getting 38. They're not. They're actually getting over 100. If you've been living on the canal, for example, you're being offered more now. If you're not being offered accommodation, they're offering you more money.
Yeah, but the matter at hand, Noel, the question you're asking is, do we feel sorry for them? But they're not going to get cut from that money to €38 a week. It's not going to happen. They're going to be all told.
Why do you think they're not working, Charles? Why do you think only 30% of adult Ukrainians in Ireland are employed? Why do you think it's so high?
Why would you work? It's only new with human nature to save as much energy as you can. Like, it's evolution. So, like, am I correct in saying that if I have a Ukrainian in my house, they get 800 a month?
Yeah.
Plus the labour.
Yeah.
Plus the labour.
Yeah. And a medical card. And if you've got kids, third level education, you get that free too.
And the cars don't get taxed.
No, so, I don't know how the insurance. So, yeah, I think they're waivered on car insurance and tax. Yeah.
How much is the labour at the moment? Just say 250, right? That's the equivalent of €500 to me a week, because like they have no expenses and they've been saving that money since last year. So like, come on, like.
Yeah, no, I know. Sorry, Angela. What are you trying to say there?
But see, that's why I'm saying it's an awful hit. You know, just to turn around.
It's not an awful hit.
In 6 weeks, you're dropping that. But what I'm saying is, why don't they do it gradually? Gradually, every three months, your money's going to drop by 50 quid a month.
Anything. shouldn't be getting anything. If they haven't worked in 2 years, they should be sent back home. Simple. Doesn't matter if they're black or white or what country they're from. If they haven't worked in 2 years, they should be sent home. If they haven't contributed one thing to the country. And it, you haven't allowed.
No, you can't say that. Listen, there are people out there. Oh my God, can I talk?
Of course
like,
you can.
Yes. They're coming from a country, right? Yes, we know that a lot of them, that a lot of the ones that have come here could afford to get flights over and, you know, to bring their families over and that, right? But what I'm trying to say is, if you were on so much money a week, right, it is very hard to turn around and give you 6 weeks' notice that you're going to drop that to less than a fifth.
The way he's looking at it, the way Charles is looking at it is, like, for example, in relation to the fact the government said they're only going to be accommodated for 90 days, they're not going to be able to turf them out on the street after 90 days. What will happen after 90 days is it stops being the problem of the Department of Integration and becomes the Department of Housing. So, in other words, they'll go over to social welfare and they get a HAP scheme or something. I don't know.
Exactly.
But the thing is, even with the HAP scheme, where are they going to go? Where are they going to go?
They'll stay in the same place they're in, and that'll be given to the HAP. And Leo Bradford's cousin or whoever wants the HAP will make another £2,000 a month off everybody. It's all politics.
By the way, in relation to the money we get, you know, from Europe, like we had a massive bill last year, which was, I think, 4.4 billion or something like that. We do get money from Europe. I'm looking at the AMIF program, which is the Asylum Migration International Finance Program, for 2021-2027 has allocated approximately 60 million to Ireland, but 49.7 million coming from the EU and the rest of the national co-financing. It's hardly a drop in the ocean compared to what we're actually paying. The rest is all paid for by taxpayers. Stay there for a second if you can, Angela. Let me go to Edward. Edward, hi, how are you doing?
Oh, hi, Niall. I got 2 points. The first one is, why are the Ukrainians here at all? Ukraine is a huge country. It's roughly the west of Ukraine, like in Lviv. It's about the same distance from the front line as Dublin is to Berlin. And you can still get hotels in western Ukraine. I can go on TripAdvisor right now and get a nice four-star hotel like for 20 or 30 euros a night or something.
Yeah.
Like, put them there and they're safe. And the second point is just a little brainwave, I thought. But I was thinking, wouldn't it be a great idea if RTE was moved out to Coolock and all these asylum seekers were moved to Donnybrook? And wouldn't everyone be happy? Donnybrook could get his diversity. Coolock could get some, like, several spin-off jobs, building it, the place and everything.
Yeah, acting in Fair City. Yeah, while the rest
of us. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad idea. I don't think the people of Donnybrook could be too happy, Edward, because...
Yeah, well, that's too bad. The people in Coolock aren't happy and nobody cares about them. All I hear and see in the Irish Times is diversity, and all these people...
Yeah, but look, we know the Irish Times.
Diversity.
I looked in the Irish Times yesterday, and John McGurk from Grip pointed out there was a story about Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, and then there was a story about Kamala Harris, and it's quite clear which side the Irish Times is on, by the way, obviously pinning for the Democrats. I have never come across a newspaper that's meant to be respected that's so biased.
I don't pay the license, I've never paid, but why am I supposed to pay for RTE so that they can support the Democratic Party.
Yeah, I know.
The party of the elites in America.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Yeah. I cannot wait for Trump to get in because I think he's going to sort all this shit out, to be honest.
Okay,
I did
tell you, by the way, somebody sent in an official complaint, an email, right? Demanding that I remove, if people watch this on video during the day, the podcast, as you know, it goes out on Twitter and Facebook. Beside me here, I have the Trumpinator. Okay, it's a bobblehead of Donald Trump, and I have a big picture of me, stands on top of a big picture, and he's on the desk all the time, and they said, in the interest of impartiality, that I should remove it from the desk. So, just to let that person know, as I said on Twitter the other day, I have taken your complaint very seriously, and I have filed it in the bin under the word trash. So just let you, just let you there.
And you can shove it up your proverbial as far whole, as you're
concerned. Your whole, Angela. Anyway, getting back to Ukrainians. Edward, Angela's saying, to be fair, it's a bit much, you know, to reduce them from 232 and only get 90 days accommodation to all of a sudden, you know, down to like whatever it is, 38, 80 per week.
Listen, a refugee, you're supposed to be desperate to want to be a refugee. You should be glad just to get your, I'm not trying to be cruel here, but that's the way it's, I bet you the poor Palestinians in Gaza, they'd be very glad to get €10 a week and at least they're...
But to be fair, Edward, and sorry to Angela to give out to you, they're very privileged refugees because normally refugees don't get PPS numbers immediately or whatever it is. Ukrainians were given PPS numbers when they came through the airport. So they were given them immediately so they could go out and get a job if they wanted. There's nothing stopping them working. But 70% of them are unemployed.
I think that was wrong as well. Being a refugee is supposed to be a temporary thing. You're a refugee while the war is on, and then you're supposed to go back home. You don't need a permanent setup like a PPS number. You're just supposed to be there, wait for the war to be over, and then go back. And personally, like I said before, they could sit it out in Western Ukraine. They'd be perfectly
miles away from the front. But the war is still going on. The war is still going on.
I do, but that's in Eastern Ukraine.
But it's still in the Ukraine, and they are still here because they can't go back to their homes.
Well, they can't. Maybe not their home, but maybe I don't know how many of them are from Eastern Ukraine, but there is plenty of space for them in Western Ukraine.
Would you go on holiday to the Ukraine right now?
Yes, I would. I go to Western Ukraine. John McGurk was there only 2 weeks ago.
Well, that's why he was there too. Yeah. Mind you, to be fair, John was telling me while he was there, there was a random strike and the air raid shelters went off. He was in a 5-star hotel. Air raid shelter went off and they all had to go down to the basement at 4 o'clock in the morning for an hour.
And he nearly shit himself. Do you want to go to
another one? No, I know. But by the way, nothing went off or anything like that. I'm assuming it was precautionary.
It happened.
I'd go to Western Ukraine, no problem.
To be fair, it's perfectly safe. Western Ukraine is perfectly safe at the moment. You know,
I know.
Nothing's happened. You know what I mean?
Angela.
I mean, it'd be like, for example, during the Troubles in Northern Ireland. Yeah, there was a lot of bombs going off and it wasn't very safe. You know, I certainly wouldn't like to have been living in Belfast, you know, during the height of the Troubles. But you only had to travel 120 miles and you were in Dublin. Yeah. And it was... So we didn't all go into a panic and move somewhere.
Do you remember, Niall, during the Troubles, we used to... The Americans, how you used to think there was bombs going off everywhere. And you would say, we're okay down here in Galway or Dublin. It's the same in Ukraine. There's nothing going on in 90% of the country. That's just a fact.
Yeah, but if you looked at it, back in those troubles, that was Northern Ireland. That was a separate country to us. Am I right?
But geographically, it was on the same island. The point that we're making is that... You know, Ukraine is the size of France. It's huge.
It's huge.
Yeah, huge. I mean, we had a war, essentially, you know, with bombs going off 120 miles up the road from us, Angela. We didn't all pack our bags and move to Australia.
Come here a second now, right?
I'm just saying. I'm just saying he's making a good point.
With all due respect now, do not compare the troubles in Northern Ireland.
I'm not.
Yes, I could compare them. Why not? Why couldn't you?
There were random bombs going off.
People killed. There were thousands of people killed.
We're going down a rabbit hole. By the way, somebody just texted in and says, I live in Mullingar. They are building 45 new modular homes in the Cullum Barracks, but they're not for the Irish. I'm looking at a photograph here from the Westmead Examiner, and they look like nice little modular homes, actually, in the barracks they're building them. But they're not for the people of Mullingar, unfortunately. They're for refugees.
Should always be temporary. It should never be a permanent thing. It should never, ever be permanent.
Okay, now, hang on. Let me go to Jane. Jane, hi, how are you?
Hey, Niall, how's it going?
Good. Jane, Angela said she feels a bit sorry for people losing their money, you know, so quickly. Maybe she said reduce it slowly over time. But the idea of, you know, just cutting it from 232 to 38 and chucking them out of their accommodation after 90 days is a bit much, she said.
No, it's not, actually, given the fact that they get 30 quid per child they bring with them, also on top of that.
Mm.
They get the heating for free.
29.80 per child, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they get their heating, their gas, oil, whatever, or electric, all free. Now, I know a specific person because my sister is in Donegal. Her neighbour is a Ukraine refugee, and she has the heating going morning, noon and night, even during the summer. And she has lights on the best part of the night, whatever. She doesn't put out her bins. She doesn't cut the grass. And the place looks like a ghetto. And there's men coming and going all different hours of the night. Now, to be honest, I think, why would so many people trace 3,500 miles to Ireland when they can just simply go down the road to Western Ukraine or Kiev? Mm. It doesn't make any sense to me. And then they fork out over 800,000 for pets.
Yeah, that was a bit
Ukrainian
crazy.
Pets.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And like, there's nearly 15,000 homeless Irish in this country.
By the way, they're still forking out for the pets because the pets weren't allowed into, say, the hotels or the accommodation. So what we're doing currently at the moment, right, we're paying for kennels for people from Ukraine. We're paying for their pets to be in kennels and their veterinary bills. We're still paying it.
No, that's crazy. Hmm? That's crazy. I do admit that. That's crazy.
Like if my dog is sick or my cat is sick, I have to go and pay my own vet bills. But they don't.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. That is crazy. I take that on board. Definitely.
I mean, there's no doubt there are people abusing it. Now, there are some genuine people, of course, but there are people abusing it. But so what are we going to do, Jane? You know, because what's going to happen is they should all be deported.
They should all be sent back to Ukraine, into Western Ukraine and Kiev. 2.3 million of them crossed the border into Russia. They were so hard done by. Where were the Russians taking them? This is beyond stupidity. It's a proxy war, and it's just all initiated for one reason only, and that's basically taking the wealth of the country. And if Russia wanted, they could have bombed the hell out of Kiev. They could have taken Ukraine in a week.
They could have, probably.
They haven't. Hmm. So it makes no sense to me that people would travel over 3,500 miles to Ireland unless they were only coming here for one reason, and that was free everything. So I don't think they should be here. They're not part of the European Union. They have absolutely, very little of them have contributed in any shape or form.
Well,
and I don't see the point.
Well, to be clear again, only 30% of Ukrainian adults actually have a job.
But the thing about that is you can't blame them for that. You can't, like, if you're going to blame anyone, here we go, the usual, we blame the government, you know? But if we were in the same situation as the comparison was made with Northern Ireland and it all hit down here and we were told, right, we can go to France and get all that money. I mean, come on, anyone would do that. Like, you would do that if you were
being
told.
I'd never leave my country.
Pardon?
I would never leave my country. I'd stay and fight for it.
I mean, the other question has to be asked, Angela. We were told at the start, right, that the people that would be coming to Ireland would be women, children and pensioners, right? Older, you know, the elderly, right? And yet a huge percentage of those who came to Ireland were men between the age of 18 and 65. They're not meant to be leaving the country. They're abandoning the military.
Come here, and I know half of them weren't even Ukrainian either. That kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I met a group of those because at the time, you might remember, there was an article in the paper, so it's no secret, I was homeless at the time when the war broke out. And I was living in the Travelodge, right? And while I was living in the Travelodge, at the time when this was all announced first, right, on that week, I got a letter from the Travelodge saying that they can't give me the corporate rate anymore and they were going to charge me whatever it was, 240 quid a night, so I couldn't afford to stay there anymore, right? So I was essentially going to sleep in the back of my car, right? So... But I was talking to the manager, one of the staff that day, and I said, what's the story with the Ukrainians? And he went, oh, yeah, they're already coming. And I said, what do you mean? He said, they're over there. I went, where? And he said, there, a group of people over there. And I'm looking at a load of lads from Pakistan or India or somewhere. They weren't Ukrainians. And I said, they don't look like Ukrainians. And he said, oh no, seemingly they were in the Ukraine studying at the time the war broke out. I said, Dad, would you ask my arse? I said, they've never even seen the inside of Ukraine.
That, I think, is wrong. Like, when I say this, I'm talking about women and kids.
There's a load of bogus Ukrainians living here. They're not actually Ukrainians at all.
Oh, there is, definitely.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I don't mind, come here, take the money off of them. Take the money off, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you can't decide who are they, you know. You know, I don't have my passport. Sorry, I fled a war. The passport was blown up in the house. You know, so you can't decide based on the skin color or somebody's skin color who's Ukrainian and who's not. You know what I mean?
If Ukrainians are one of the past 12 safe countries to come to Ireland, it's only for one reason. And that's what was being handed out. That's what the money was being given. And they have creamed the system to every possible amps that they can. They got home. They went home for the skiing season in March. They went home for Christmas. If you go up on Dundee and you go up onto other websites, you'll find them advertising their own homes for rent. It's just a total scam.
The idea that we had that argument last Christmas, Angela, about how long they could go home for Christmas, and you know, and the government were saying, well, you can't go home for more than a week, or we'd have to give away our accommodation. But you give us 2 or 3 weeks. All right, so. And then we ended up giving them like 2.5 weeks or something like that. They had to be back by the 4th of January or some 5th of January or whatever it was. And then they argued with that, saying it was a national holiday in Ukraine on the 7th of January. Could they not stay till then? And then we went, oh yeah, okay, so. So it was like 3 weeks. The idea that somebody would argue with you, we're refugees in your country, can we go back to the war for 3 weeks for Christmas? I mean, even the very idea of that is mind-blowing, Angela.
I don't agree with that. I haven't agreed with that. And I think there is one very extremely simple way to, you know, differentiate from who's from the Ukraine and who's not. And all it is you sit down, and I'm being very serious about this, right? That if you're a mother with her children from the Ukraine, sit down, give them a quick interview, that's fine, right? Get a man in, get a woman in, that'll sit down and have a full-blown conversation in Ukrainian with somebody. And if they can't speak back to you in Ukraine, out you go.
Mm.
That's what I would do.
I look at a headline, by the way, in the paper here, and it's from recent times, and it says, Ukrainian jailed for stealing 95,000 in social welfare. Anyway. So it just goes to show you, it doesn't matter where people are from, they can be dishonest. Let me go to Sarah. Sarah, hi, how are you?
How's it going, Niall?
How are you doing, Sarah? Sarah, do you have a level of sympathy for people who are going to have their money reduced dramatically?
No, not really. Like, just listening there, but from 200 and odd down to 28 a week or 48 a week, I don't think it's going to happen.
But it will.
There's no way you'd be able. I don't think so, Niall.
So there will be a way around it. The government are just making it up, like. Looking for
votes. No, that's making it up. It looks fancy, like, for them, all right, but it's not going to happen.
Well, it did happen in March. They, for newcomers coming to Ireland, they reduced it from 238 to 232 to 38. So for the newcomers, that reduced the numbers of people coming in because it wasn't attractive anymore.
Yeah, but when it doesn't suit them, they leave, Niall. You know what I mean? And I think that's what it's part of. It's not making the package look that attractive that they're not going to end up staying. Like, I was talking to a lad there, and the car broke down, he picked me up, and he was driving one of those recovery trucks. And he was saying one morning he woke up and there was a missile down a couple of houses from himself and his wife and his children left. He stayed in Poland for a year. Then he went to the UK, and he really liked the UK, but then he said it wasn't attractive.
The benefits, yeah.
Yeah, so he came to Ireland.
Yeah.
And he was a lorry driver, whatever the case may be. But he was a driver wherever he worked in the Ukraine. So now he's driving one of the trucks there, doing the recovery trucks.
Mm.
And
well, that's what happened to a lot of people. A lot of Ukrainians went to other countries in Europe and realised how generous Ireland was, and they moved from other countries to Ireland. We're the land of milk and honey.
Niall, a lot of people would do that. Come on, call a spade a spade. A lot of people would do that. I mean, we all know about those tweets and those, you know...
the Roger Gorman tweets.
Yeah, but not even that, that everyone knows about, oh, come here, come over here. Do you know, people who were brought to the UK and France and everything, well, go to Ireland because you get more there. Anyone would do that.
Sorry, Angela, but there is an awful lot of genuine cases out there that does need the support.
Yes.
And it's ruining it. And not only that as well, right, because I feel, right, because, like, they're coming into our country. If you remember at the very start of this, we had other immigrants and refugees in our country giving out about these people coming into our country because they weren't entitled to the same status that our government was giving them. Can you remember that?
Yeah, of course, yeah, because, you know, Johnny from Nigeria would arrive in Ireland and he only got 38 quid and he's wondering why, you know, Paddy from Ukraine, well, it wouldn't be Paddy, it would be Rudy. Rudy from Ukraine is getting 232 just because he's from a different country. What's the difference? Yeah.
Exactly, and that flared up as well. So there's an awful lot of, I don't know what you'd call it, like, misinformation somewhere.
Yeah.
We have, like, as I say, where I'm living, like, where I'm living, right, and it's only lately that I'm coming more aware of it because I'm seeing everywhere I'm going, but, like, there's Ukrainian communities in a lot of the counties where I am, and they're back to education, they're working.
They're not really working.
But listen, Niall, some of them, like, and I'm going to bring it back.
Unless most of them are working for cash, because according to the statistics...
Well, the only way they can get work is to get a document, a physical document in their hand and give it to an employer saying that it's okay that you have international protection.
When they arrived in Ireland, as soon as they walked in the Dublin airport, they were given a PPS number.
No. They have.
Yeah,
and the medical.
Yeah, sorry. They were. They were given a PPS number, a medical card, everything as soon as they came to Ireland. So you don't be fooled. Oh, but only 30% actually went and bothered to get a job.
Yeah, well, some of them are saying as well they can't get childcare, and I'm not laughing.
We all have to deal with that problem.
I know. Like, at the start when all of this began, my heart actually... Do you know what? I can't even sit down. When I'm looking at the telly, right, and as you say to my husband, I feel I should be over there helping people in the war. And my husband just be saying to me, said, you get blown up in 2 days if you went over there. Like, that's in Pakistan or whatever country they're having that war's in. Like, do really have empathy for them.
So do I. But we're not a land of milk and honey. We don't have an endless bank balance in this country for anybody who just wants to come over here and take as much money off us as we can give them. That's ridiculous.
Well, you see, that's...
I can't get childcare. How many people in this country are struggling because they pay childcare costs? Because you're Ukrainian, you should be treated differently, or your children are better or something. Sorry, go ahead, Angela.
Listen,
that's why I was saying at the start, I think to it gradually, but I also think, and come here, it wouldn't cost that much to do it, is that what you do is all these men and so-called Ukrainian men that claim they were living in Ukraine but can't speak a word of it, all it takes is sit down, have a translator there who will sit there, speak Ukrainian to them, and if they can't have a conversation back, a proper conversation now, back in Ukrainian, out you go.
Out you go where? Where? Back to Ukraine.
You get your 38. Get your 38 a week.
Oh, yeah. Okay, stay there for a second. Let me just go to Sandra as well. Sandra, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Yeah, no, there's some points there. I know quite a few Ukrainians. I know a lot of Eastern Europeans. So a lot of them are working under the table. There is a lot now. One Irish person who got in trouble because they get the 200 a week, you know, accommodation, no question asked. So if you fill in the form, they get the one woman who she was renting out a room, so she's getting the 200.
Yeah.
She was Irish.
Yeah.
She got into trouble.
because they came around and said, why didn't you say that she was working? She was working as a cleaner. She's getting great money now.
Yeah.
And claiming all the benefits. Now, the Irish person who did do it got in trouble. I was also asked by a Nigerian guy who I know through other people. And now he's an okay guy, but he wanted me to fill out forms. He was able to ask me how he was able to get a Ukrainian passport. Like, he doesn't speak a word, never been to Ukraine. He's, I think, second generation Nigerian, but he identifies as Nigerian. But anyway,
he identifies as Nigerian. Okay, that's a new thing now, isn't it? You can identify as that you want nowadays. Yeah, go on. But he, in other words, he was going to get himself a Ukrainian passport so he could claim all the benefits.
A Ukrainian passport.
Right. Oh, he has one.
He's done asthma. And don't ask me how he got one, but he wanted me to fill out forms to get that 200 a week. I didn't get in. I didn't ask him how he got the Ukrainian. He's never been to Ukraine. He doesn't speak a word of the language. Other people who I know who Ukrainian were laughing, or even Eastern Europeans, they were saying, oh, that's great. Like, we'll go and have a conversation with them then. Because they, like, we all have, most Western people, our first language is English, like, or you'd be able to speak English. They have Russian. So they're like, oh, okay, we'll go and speak to him in Russian. And
obviously, he was from Nigeria.
Yes. So. Well, it identifies as Nigerian. No, he's not really Nigerian either.
Right.
He's really British. Well, anyway.
What is he? But what you're saying, he identifies as Nigerian, right? But he has a Ukrainian passport. What is he? Where is he from?
He's actually he grew up in England, so I don't know what his parents were Nigerian.
Right, okay. But look, if there's a scam...
Nigeria.
Look, if there's a scam available, human nature, people will try their best to do it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he said he's not the only one. Now, he's actually an okay guy. Like,
I'm sure
he's
not,
like, dangerous or anything. He's lovely.
He sounds lovely. Yes. The salt of the earth. Yeah, I'm going to identify as Ukrainian tomorrow. You can call me Rudy or something. I don't know. Anyway, so the point you're making is, I mean, so they need to be all cut. Is that what you're saying? The payments need to be cut?
I do. Yeah, there's so many people taking the piss, and even he admitted it. Like, not just the Ukrainians or Eastern Europeans, and a lot of Eastern Europeans are angry about it as well. There is just so much piss taking going on. They see, like, if you say it to them, like, I was talking to a Moldovan guy, and I was saying, you know, do you not think there's an awful lot of piss-taking going on? He said, yeah, but they're entitled to, sure, why not?
Yeah.
I'd do it if I could as well.
Yeah, I suppose if the system is there to take advantage of, why not? Angela, the system is broken. You're defending this, Angela, but the system is broken. I mean, a bloke from England, well, maybe, identifying as Nigerian with a Ukrainian passport, all to get money. You know what I mean? And by the way, there's so many people in this country taking the piss at the moment from all over the world who figured out a way to take the piss out of Irish taxpayers. We're just sitting back and we're going, but they're from Ukraine.
I told you.
You know what I mean? That they're in a war.
I told you exactly how to fix it.
Yeah.
It's very simple. All it takes is to sit down and have a conversation.
I would just... But then we have to pay administration staff to talk to 104,000 people or whatever it is and sit down.
Yeah.
And, are you joking? Sure, we can't even deal with the 27,000 international protection applicants that we have coming here for a year, for the last year. We can't deal with them. And you want to deal with another 104,000, sit down and have an interview with them. They don't have time to do all that. Did you hear what Padraig Tobin said earlier on? We have 100 guards in the Department of Immigration, the Bureau of Immigration. 100 guards.
Fuck's sake. Would it not be cheaper to hire people to do this? Would it not be cheaper?
Just cut the money.
You know what I mean?
Just cut the money. And if they want to stay, they can stay. If they want to, they can.
Cut them all off.
Yeah, cut the money. Just cut the money, and if they really want to stay, they'll either get a job or else they go home. One or the other.
Most of them
they'll either get a job
they'll go on job seekers.
Sorry, Sandra, what are you saying?
Most of them have jobs. Like, seriously, they're not. Like, I have another one who I knew quite well, Julia. She's a lovely girl. She goes back to Ukraine on holidays. Most of them have jobs. whether they're working under the table.
Well, most, if you're saying most have jobs, then that's not an official figure, obviously.
Most I know.
Yeah, most you know, your observations. Well, clearly they're working for cash because according to the actual statistics, only 30% have jobs. The other 70% don't.
Right. One, I knew that she was legit working. I think she was working in Wicklow anyway, but she was legit working. She'd go home on holidays all the time. And I said to her, I said, how come you're going back there on holiday? Now, she was able to work, but she was able to get claim the allowance, the accommodation allowance, which is 200
a week. Yeah, no 800 a month. That. Yeah, 800 a month. Yeah.
She was allowed to claim that, but she was allowed to work, and she was doing that, and she was going on holidays, and I questioned her, and I was like, is there a war on there? Like, why are you coming here going back on holidays a lot? She came back, brought back her car, and she went back to see her boyfriend, and she said, oh, she doesn't live near the war. So I think it's kind of like, from what I can see, it's kind of like Northern Ireland. When Northern Ireland was in, like, you know, it didn't mean that the whole of Ireland was affected. It was a certain area affected.
Yeah.
So you could fly into Dublin and not be affected.
What are you laughing? Angela, what are you laughing at?
I'm just like, don't compare. You can't compare it now.
Well, you try telling that to somebody who was living in the thick of the troubles back in the 1970s.
Yeah, but you cannot compare the war in Ukraine.
No, it's just not on the same scale. But for the people who lived there, it was equally as dangerous.
I'm trying to explain is not all Ukraine is in war.
No.
The particular area this girl comes from. And so nothing against her. She's lovely. She goes back on holidays all the time. She brought cars back. She went back to see her boyfriend. Her boyfriend came over here. She's a really nice girl. But she says her area is not affected.
Yeah, it's like going on holidays. Imagine, Angela, you went on holidays tomorrow to Spain and the government of Spain decided, we'll give you 800 quid a month to find somewhere free to rent. We'll give you 236 quid a week. And by the way, don't worry if you're sick, by the way. We'll give you a medical card. And we'll give you a grant for anything else you need. And if you want food, by the way, we'll subsidise that too. And if you want to go to third level education, we'll give you that as well. Sure, we'd be all...
Yeah, she's got education over here.
Yeah, we'd be all there. I'd be there. I'd go.
It's what I'm trying to say to you. This is what I'm trying to say to you.
Yeah.
You can't blame the people who are doing it because they're all salt of the earth. But still, what I'm saying is when you put that out, the only people you can blame in this is the government.
Okay, stay there. Let me go to Joe. Joe, hi. Thank you, Sandra. Joe, hi.
Hello, Niall. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Sandra was a world of knowledge there. About English people identifying as Nigerians and with Ukrainian passports. I'm not surprised, by the way, that kind of carry-on happens.
Sure. Nothing would surprise me nowadays with the way things are going around in this country.
Yeah, Angela feels sorry for them, Joe. Angela feels sorry for them.
Well, look, I'm not going to be rude to Angela. I have great respect for Angela.
Ah, far away. Everyone else is rude to her.
Thanks, Joe.
I would ask you one thing, Angela, and I know I have the gorge because I've listened to you for many, many years and you're an intelligent lady. Would you take any of these people in, Angela? I'm just asking you, would you take them in to your home and look after them?
Not a hope in hell. Would not.
No, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. I know, I only asked you, like, you know, because...
yeah, our charity only goes so far.
Yeah.
Charity does not begin in my home.
Yeah, she's okay with giving away other people's money, just not her own.
She's speaking common sense anyway.
Do you think?
Well, she
doesn't want to cut the money, Joe. I want to cut. I'm happy to see the money being cut.
Oh well, I'm happy to see the money cut as well. But look, that's Angela's point. If Angela wants to go down that road, that's her. That's what she wants. But with respect, Niall, I think this is becoming an embarrassment now. Because with respect, we have a lot of people in this country, our own traditional Irish people, who are suffering, Niall, big time. Who can't even get a home. Who can't even get mortgages. They're struggling to pay ends meet, and you know that the way things are going at the moment, we're in the middle of a war here now because people are not happy with the situation. And I have to congratulate the people in Coolock and Dundalk and Limerick and other places for standing up for their rights. And I think we all need to do it, I think, because I think it was Angela actually said it there not so long ago, that we, the entire country, should down tools and show this government what we think of them. I would support that. And I think that's what needs to be done in this country.
Something, Joe, I can tell you now. within the next few months, something is going to happen in this country because people are tired. They're tired of listening to a government not listening to them anymore.
And I reckon, I reckon it will happen. It will happen, and I hope it does.
Will.
Because I tell you something.
No, I hope it does too, but in a peaceful manner, obviously. But I hope it does too, because I think the government of this country have lost their way. And Ben Scallon actually summed it up there yesterday very well when he was talking on GB News. And he talked about the idea that the government seem to forget they do not own this country. The citizens of Ireland own this country. They've just been elected to keep it, to manage it for 5 years.
Sorry, Joe, that is exactly what I said.
This is not the Ukrainians. This is the undocumented coming into this country and being shoved everywhere. I would, and I did say it, and thank you for listening to me, Joe, because I did. I said if every single person turned around for 1 hour, it's a date that they'll say, as I said, some days in October, some days in September, let's say on a Saturday at 4 o'clock, between 4 and 5, everyone stop what they're doing, whether you're in a car, whether you're on a bus, whether you're in a shop, a restaurant, just stop. And by God, a lot will be lost.
Joe, thank you very much indeed for that. Sorry, I have to be short whenever because I don't have much time now. Owen, hi. Hi, Owen, how are you?
Hi, Neil. I'm not too bad for an Elfla. How are things with you?
You don't sound too bad for an Elfla. Anyway, listen, Owen. Okay, the money being cut for the Ukrainians next month, well, September, start of September, is it a good idea?
I think it's about time. Their country has loads of work. It's about time people started paying their way. Like, you couldn't walk past the building sites. They nearly offer you a job. All the factories, all the warehouses, all the shops.
Yeah.
And however about the Ukrainians, because they all seem to have a good bit of get up and go, there's too many like that English-Nigerian fella, intergenerational con men and scammers who've been targeting Ireland because your man O'Gormless having his ads up in all these languages, inviting every scammer and thief and pickpocket to the country, and it's gone ridiculous.
Mm.
And the opposition is just as bad. They're all woke nonsense talk, and it's about time people started realising that the only people this is suiting is bad employers. We see it there with these Mickey Mouse jobs, like Deliveroo drivers, and there's no upward pressure on wages.
So in other words, what you're saying is it's a race to the bottom, yes.
A race to the bottom. And somebody mentioned there that people living here for many generations can't afford to live here. They can't buy housing. They can't rent housing. This is all because we've got the downward pressure on workers' paying conditions because you've a lot of new gullible people coming in, honest people as well as the scammers, and they're being taken advantage of by bad employers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no two ways about that. And
okay, just very quickly, because I have to move on, but Owen, do you believe we should be cutting the money, or as Angela says, is that a bit much to be cutting it so radically?
Absolutely. Okay. There's loads of work out there. Any of the Ukrainians I know, they're getting nearly 500 a week between cash and rent allowance.
That's right. Well, yeah, it is about 500 a week between the 232 that they get, and they also get the 800 a month as well. Yeah, and on top of that, they get other benefits too. They get other grants. They get all sorts of things, medical cards and everything else. To get 500 quid a month, you would have to earn about 700 or 800 before tax. Anyway, a lot of people not very happy about the whole situation. Everybody else in this country who earns 700 or 800 quid a week doesn't get free accommodation. Let me go to Lorenzo. Yeah, stay there, Angela, please. I want to deal with you in a second. Lorenzo, hi.
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Lorenzo, you kind of like Angela. You kind of feel a bit sorry for them. To some degree.
From one part, I feel kind of sorry for them in terms of I'm a foreigner as well, not in my home country. So
yeah, but you didn't live off the stage. You come over here and you got a job, Lorenzo.
I know, but I mean, everything that has been said is true up to a certain point. I mean, I know that everybody in Ireland deal with the same type of problems every day, from kids to work and everything. But if they come over and is a single mom, how she's going to find a job and a crush because she's alone. If something happens, she has to stay home. We see, I mean, as Irish, you have a net and a backup behind you. Most likely you have brothers, sisters, mother, uncles, cousins, a lot of people around that can help if needed, or even friends or close friends. We've started to have a backup line and a web and a net behind us recently in the past couple of years. Before that was me, my wife, finish. If was something happening, I have to stay home and not go to work, or she has to stay home and not go to work. While if you are an Irish, you can phone your mom and say, oh, can you have a look on the baby? I have to go to work. Or your sister or somebody is around, technically, or might be around. I mean...
No, I know. I understand the point you're making, but not everybody has that network either, right? And I've spoken to people, Irish people, who don't have that network of people, or they might be living far away from their, you know, mother or father or relations or whatever.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's why I'm saying...
But the point is, we still have to get on with it. We have to figure something out. I mean, when you take into consideration, Lorenzo, that somebody gets 232 quid, you know, they're staying in a hotel or whatever it is, they get subsidised meals, they get clothes, they also get free healthcare, they get, if they're staying in somebody's house, they can get up to 800, or they get an A payment of 800 quid a month. That's all worth about 600 or 700 a week. It's kind of taking the piss, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, but that, I think, is the problem in terms of how things were dealt at the beginning, like, because...
And by the way, that's not even means tested. You can come here to Ireland from Ukraine and have 300,000 in your bank account. Let's say you happen to be wealthy. 300,000 in your bank account. Drive a Porsche. And you still get all of those payments.
Yeah, no, I know. That's why I'm saying it's ludicrous the way that is done, that was done from the beginning. And it's totally no sense how European Union is dealing with the Ukraine crisis and even the Palestinian crisis in general, because obviously they have two different measures for two different things, because one is friendly, one is not, for some reason. But instead of saying, I mean, European Union should be for all humans' welfare, but they pick which actually is...
Oh, yeah, they pick a side. Yeah, I know, they don't. And what the European Union should be doing is encouraging peace talks.
That's why I think is kind of nonsense to.
But I mean, a lot of people have made the point today, Lorenzo, that many people come from Ukraine, have come from a part of Ukraine which is perfectly safe. It's a huge country. Most of it is not at risk.
No, but I think, I mean, most likely it is in terms of as well. Yeah, it's a huge country. But I think that probably what was saying Angela in terms of more investigation would be better to do to deal with that. Because as you said, yes, if you're a man, how is it possible that you're here and not fighting? Go home.
Well, according to Zelensky himself, if you're between 18 and 65, you weren't allowed to leave the country. And yet, we have thousands of men between 18 and 65 who came to Ireland. So are they all deserters? Should we report them to Zelensky? Should he put them all in jail for treason or whatever, or deserting the army?
No, they should, I mean, they should be, should really get in and get a real shot with the Ukrainian embassy and say, okay, this is the situation. It can't go on. We have to find a solution.
Okay, but by the way, loads of texts are coming in. I'm going to read these out to you, Angela, okay, very quickly.
And
These are all on YouTube, if I can find out, okay? The like of Angela is part of the problem. Angela, it's a bit too early to be drinking. Angela is on the vodka methinks. Angela missed a geography class. Angela should house asylum seekers. Who's this Angela person? She's on every call in the show and has an opinion on everything. Who are these weirdos who consider themselves to have all the answers? Send Angela to live with them for a week and she wouldn't be long changing her tune. Irish men died for this beautiful land of Irish culture to prevail, and Angela is a traitor to all of us. That's it. She don't mind if it's other people's problems. Once it's interfering with Angela, then it's a problem. Self-centered, you know what? I'm just sorry.
Niall,
they love you. This is like a fan club, isn't it?
All about me.
Yeah, it's like a fan.
It's my birthday. It's my birthday on Sunday, so this show is all about Angela, wasn't it?
Okay, stay there for a second. By the way, sorry, Charles, I thought you were on already. Were you not?
I got cut off, Niall, but you didn't give me enough time to have a fight with Angela, so I got...
Okay, well, far away there, yeah. Everybody else is having a go at her.
No, listen, I can see that Angela's coming from a good heart. I didn't come on to have a row with somebody, but I'm just trying, I'm not going to listen to the show after. No, I was just listening to the show, and I'm just saying, like, you're coming across at the point of, look, blame the government. And, like, wouldn't you do it if you got the opportunity to? But in one of your first sentences, you say, sure, we have enough of our own scroungers at home. Now, if I was to put it to you that the government calls some state of emergency in the country and says the 14,000 Irish homeless people are going to get put up into all three things, hotels, given all this money, given all everything, how long would it be before you turned on the Irish homeless people and then say, they shouldn't be getting that, that's not fair, I'm working on my life, I'm paying my taxes, put the shoe on the other foot then. Now, I'm not looking for you to say, oh, blah, blah. I'm just saying, like, you have to understand that people are coming at that angle and saying, listen, these people are coming from part of Ukraine, which is like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 miles from the war. And they're coming over here.
Hold
and
on
then
the second.
No, go on, Charles, I'm not looking around. I'm just putting it out to you.
No, but, like, I don't begrudge a mother with 3, 4, 5, 6 kids getting a house. Practically for free, and it is for free because she's not paying for it. She's getting her money, but she's not paying for it, getting her electricity paid for, getting all this. I don't begrudge anyone like that, but what I'm saying is that these people have come over here. We have done enough to help them. By God, have we gone over and above to help them. But I think that turning around and saying, by the way, in 6 weeks' time, your money's dropping and you're out in your ear, it's a bit much.
Well, as I said at the start, that won't happen. Sorry, go on.
And I get the point that you're probably right, Charles. That probably won't happen, literally, because, you know, they'll just move from one department to another. And it'll be another department's problem to find a house because we're not going to see them all sleeping in tents.
No. The other thing is, just realise as well, I'm just talking about the Ukrainians that have come into this country. I'm not talking about undocumented and refugees and all
I'm
those
not talking
records.
About them either. I'm talking about them.
I just want to make that clear. No, I know you haven't said that.
No, anybody who's here. Oh, by the way, can I just say you're not allowed to use the word illegal anymore?
No,
I'm just telling you, as Keir Starmer made it abundantly clear yesterday. Mind you, that clown in RTE that interviewed me during the elections, he made it clear too that I wasn't allowed to use the word illegal immigrant, right? You must use the term, here's what Keir Starmer said, the new term is irregular migrant.
Okay, so if you see those illegal immigrants, give them my number if they want to come after me for hate speech for saying illegal immigrants.
They are illegal. Sorry, Charles, how are you doing? Sorry, you wanted to say something else there. Finish.
No, before I get caught up again, I was just about to make that point that when you bring Stephen or Matthew, the resident Wokey, on, and they start parroting irregular migrants, just know that these people have never had a critical thought in their life, and they just parrot what they're told on the television. I was just about to make that point to you before you said it.
But wasn't just Keir Starmer, Charles. If you remember during the election campaign when I was on Drive Time at RTE, sitting beside Éanna Reardon and Sinn Féin's Lynn Boyle and Barry Andrews beside me, and I don't know who, Social Democrats, what was her name, sitting across from me, I used the word illegal immigration, and they all tore the back off me, including the presenter of the show. You can't use that term. There's no such thing as illegal immigrant. I'm going, well, it's in the Irish statute books that if you enter this country with no documentation, you're entering illegally. So I said, maybe you should tell that to the guards who just arrested 100 people in the last 6 months for it. Now the Keir said it, well, it must be true. Thanks to that. Sorry, Charles. Sorry for cutting everybody. I have to get two people very quickly. I've only got 5 minutes. Connie, hi.
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good, Connie. Okay, you heard what Angela said. Cut them off.
I did. You know what? Has Angela ever lived in a different country? I've lived in. When you go abroad, and there's lots of people living in this country, Niall, for many years, from all countries, that are working hard, and they're like the rest of us. You know, Ukrainians are fine, but cut the money. Do you know what? If they don't like that, how can they go home for holidays and come back? And their pets get sent. I tell you, it costs a lot of money, because I brought my dog to Canada. It costs a whole lot of money. That was scandalous. Scandalous. And, you know what? Go on, off with you. There's plenty more waiting in the queue, all these economic migrants. Is that allowed now? I'm not sure. But you know what? I'm not going to curse, but Christ almighty, I mean, you know, are we
where in this conversation, Connie, did I turn around and say it was okay
to spend 800 grand on dogs coming over for kennels.
I wasn't talking about a dog. You said that they should. No, no. What you said? I didn't say that actually. You know, you said it was okay that their money shouldn't be cut. Of course, it should be cut.
No,
do you know what
no I said the money. But no, I never.
I wasn't talking about it. You misheard me.
You just mentioned the dogs.
I mentioned a lot more before the dogs, if you'd listen properly.
I am listening, but I'm picking you up on
yes,
what you're
I
saying.
I also said that their money should be cut, exactly, because you know what? There is plenty. Why can they go home on holidays if it's not safe? That's my point. And they can come back and they get, you know, I mentioned the fact.
So what you're saying to me, Connie, is you believe a lot of them are taking the piss?
Completely, absolutely.
Mm. Yeah, some are genuine. I want to establish that some have come from parts of Ukraine where their houses were blown
up. That's okay. You know something? You know, genuine.
But they could have moved to a different part of Ukraine that was safer.
Exactly. If it's that better, why are they going on holidays? You know, like it's common sense. Mm. Common sense seems to go out the window.
And if you actually heard that, I didn't agree with that either.
Yeah, but you still want to give them loads of money, Angela.
Yeah, come on.
No, it wasn't your money you were giving away.
What I have said I don't agree with is that suddenly in 6 weeks' time your money is dropping. I said do it gradually.
Well, I don't know. I just think that, you know what they should do? There's plenty of our own people that are children, especially living on the streets. Why not pump the money at them and put them up in the safe houses?
Okay, listen, thanks for that, Connie. Let me just go to, the last two, I think. I think Nuala and Bernie. I can unfortunately only do two or 3 minutes each, but go ahead, Nuala.
There's an awful lot of people on the state pension and the contributory pension alone. They don't have anything else. Now, €38 to spare would be very handy for them. You know, like say if they have to replace a cooker or they have to do this, that and the other. There's an awful lot of people who are like in that position. And they have a medical card and the transport, but still, if they go out and bring their nieces and nephews or grandchildren, they haven't a bean in their pocket. Like, you know, they can't afford the internet. A lot of them can't afford the internet. They're not given any iPhones or nothing. And they're our own people, you know.
Yeah, no, I get that, but you know, when you heard what Angela says that we shouldn't cut their money, we should just keep giving it to them. Well, she said maybe reduce it over time is kind of what she said, but we shouldn't just.
I was in O'Connor Street when the bombs went off in the '70s.
Yeah,
you know, and an awful lot of Dublin people. They didn't all go and take the boat. Mm. You know, you kind of had to stay put. You know, like
Dublin, in fairness, was reasonably safe. That was an isolated incident. Yeah.
Well, it was, yeah. But if you went up about, say, 50 miles up the road, up to the north, up Newry or somewhere like that, you know, it was a dangerous enough country.
Of course it was, yeah. And, as I said to Angela.
You know, like, and the size of Ukraine, sure, it's bigger than France. It's massive, you know. And most of the people in Eastern Ukraine, they're Russian and Russian-speaking, and they voted for the fella that was deposed. You know,
you are right. There needs to be a bigger conversation about why the war has happened in the first place. And by the way, yes, I'm not picking sides or, you know, say, for example, that I think Russia is great or anything like that. I don't for 1 minute. But we need to look at a bit the bigger picture as to why the war is happening. I think by continually funding this nutcase, Zelensky, who's equally as nutty as far as I'm concerned as any other dictator in the world, I personally believe that you are continuing to fund a war that will go on forever.
Like, I mean, I lived for about 20 years of my life, like, say, with a community, but I never had any money of my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we survived. Well, you could do without, you do without a lot of things, you know, the social things that other people, but say, like a lot of our older people, they're left kind of on the shelf, and if they want a new hip or something, should they have to pick, have to go to Belfast, or they might be
a year and a half. I get it, Nuala. Sorry, I have to cut everybody a little bit short. Sorry, Bernie, hi, how are you?
Cut the money, that's all I'm saying.
Just cut the money.
Yeah.
Angela.
We're not.
Yeah.
No, forget Angela. I love her to bits and everything, but no, cut the money and I'm done listening to all the stories. I've seen too many of them around here in the designer labels. fighting with the post office because they weren't getting their other allowance that week, and when would they have to come back, and free buses up to the post office, and free everything, walking around smoking cigarettes. We can't.
I know a taxi driver who picks two young girls up, Ukrainians, every morning to bring them to school.
Yeah.
And I can tell you now, there is nobody else in this country who gets the comfort for their kids to be picked up by taxi to go to school. And by the way, they don't pay for it. It's that he has to just get them to sign a thing and the Department of Social Protection pay for it.
Like, I mean, there's so many elderly, I agree with that lady, there's so many elderly people who've been shipped up to the Belfast and told they can get their surgery somewhere else, waiting years in severe agony with cataracts, with hip replacements, with knees. They're in an awful state. They're taking massive doses of painkillers. They're being fobbed off left, right and centre, told they're lucky to have they don't even get a place on the waiting list. Yet a person with any doctor rings in about a Ukrainian person with any illness, they're straight up the list. Now, that to me is unfair.
Thank you, Bernie, for that. Let me go to Jason. Jason, hi. Equalism is what everybody's calling for. Equilibrium. Sorry, Jason, is what ain't you are calling for as well in relation to this, that everybody should be treated the same way. The idea that Ukrainians are treated better in some cases than Irish people in this country seems to be outrageous.
Hey, Niall.
Mm.
725 million.
725 million, Jason. 725 million.
725 million. If we can give that to Joe Duffy to wash his hands, we can give that to the Ukrainians.
By the way, for those who don't know what that's all about, yes, that was on the radio last night. We were talking about 725 million being given to RTE. Sorry, Jason, just very quickly, because I have to wrap it up. Should we be cutting the money, or is that a bit harsh?
No, we have to know. Let's face reality. The cat's out of the bag now. Half of the world knows Ireland's a fucking honeypot. Excuse the language. Ireland's a honeypot. Get over there quick. Mm. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous what they're doing. And here's another one, Niall. And I heard it at a meeting I was at, a political meeting I was at. There's rumours going around that they're holding back children's places for Ukrainian kids over Irish kids' heads.
Ooh.
So if you're being told there's no room in your school, go up in September and see how many Ukrainians.
Well, I did see a screenshot yesterday from text, and I know everybody was talking about it online. I think one of the papers covered the story about an estate agent who was renting out a property, and he wouldn't accept an Irish couple on HAP, but he did accept a Ukrainian couple with, the 800 quid they get every month, which is a state payment.
I know of one who was, they were given their, we're selling the house thing, and when they moved out, blah, 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 came back, and there's a Ukrainian family there. There's two of them living across from me in a council house. They're renting it out off a Polish couple who went back to Poland. Okay. Left a council house there and they're renting it out. Okay. The scammers there, mate, they're all at it. Everybody's at it. We're a sitting duck. We're stupid. We're the stupid paddy. And it's gone all around Europe. It's gone all around that. Okay, get over there. The stupid paddy's dishing out fucking gold.
Thank you for that, Jason. Listen, I have to wrap it up before I do. By the way, let's go to some of our messages here, by the way, on WhatsApp.
Can't come on today because I have a lot on, but I do think it's wrong for people that have no other option to stay in state accommodation with, you know, the food and the opportunities that they're given, to be reduced to 38 euros is below the poverty line, far below the poverty line. And it's ridiculous and it's inhuman. I don't care about meeting European norms. You know, we're moving people that are in direct provision for 10 years that have set their lives up, that have jobs, that have, you know, kids in school and things like that. And things like that are wrong. We shouldn't have to be doing that to uproot people's lives. We wouldn't do it to Irish people. So we shouldn't do it to anybody else. We should be a better country than that.
Hey, Noel, great topic. Yeah, I think that we've been taking the piss out of now left, right and centre. We really are. Our government are an absolute failure across the board. You know this. They're an absolute failure. And they're allowing us to be taken advantage of. It's that simple. They're allowing it to happen. Laziness, incompetence, stupidity, moronic, all of them things and more. And we, the people, are fighting amongst ourselves now about all this. And most people haven't a clue what's going on around them. They just don't have a clue now. Anybody in this country that's, especially males, should be all sent home to fight for that country. Need to start working, need to start contributing. They need to start giving back. Because we've only got more and more coming in the door. There's more and more coming. And we're taking them all in. And the ones that are here are ripping the piss out of us left, right and centre from everywhere. But regarding the Ukraine, like I said, All the men should be sent back, fighting age men should be sent back to the Ukraine to go fight for their country. And the women need to start contributing, like every other woman in this country, single woman or not. They have to start contributing. Cheers now.
All right, thank you very much indeed for that. I'm just looking at some of the messages. I won't read them all out in detail, but there's one here that goes on about a lot of stuff about their own personal situation, but it says, I'm in support of anyone claiming benefits, but only if there's proof that they're actively seeking work. I don't qualify for welfare if I have a job. I am also taxed extraordinarily on the money I do make. Yeah, I get that completely. I understand that. And I think most people are in the same, a similar situation. Some of the other messages there, I had another one about to do with them. Oh, yeah, I see them. Let me see. Now, I'll have a look at the new modular homes in Clonmel and Tipperary. They're now saying they are for displaced persons and they look nicer than any home I'll ever own. It's a disgrace. I'm 28 years of age and I can't even get a rent I want. That comes in from Evan. Whatever happened to people from Ukraine living in direct provision, being required to pay a contribution of 10 to 5 for food on a daily basis? Annette, I did hear, by the way, one woman on a radio station there recently, a Ukrainian, giving out about the food that she was getting for free at that point. I don't know if she was paying for it or not, but she was giving out about the quality or not of the choices of food. I was going, you know, we're giving you accommodation, we're giving you money and we're feeding you and you're moaning about it. Shut up. Some people are so ungrateful. They really are. Lorenzo says, I've met a few Ukrainians and they all said the same thing. I want to work, but I can't find it. It's not an easy situation. I kind of see myself in them as a foreigner. However, as we always said, the problem is, again, you reduce help to help. But in the same time, you don't reduce the money to the lazy Irish that don't want to work or evading taxes. It sounds unfair. Loads of other messages, by the way, from Adele there, Jonathan, Keenan, Kieran, and everybody else. Thank you to everybody for your messages. By the way, thank you to everybody for getting involved. Thank you. Yesterday, by the way, one or two people gave us a donation. Small, but it was a donation nonetheless. I said this already, and we were talking about it yesterday, myself, my producer and researcher, and we were talking about how we go forward with this. And, you know, yesterday again was an astonishing day for us, you know, numbers-wise. So many people watch it on Twitter, you know, there's a few thousand. Actually, one day on Twitter, there was 22,000. I think we were talking about Kulak at the time. And then you will have, you know, so many thousand on Facebook, so many thousand on YouTube, so many thousand on Rumble, so many thousand. And then we have people who download it as well and people who watch it or listen to it on our website live as well. And the one thing that's in common at this moment in time, if you're watching this, is you're not paying for it. So we're, you know, we're bearing the cost of it. And we're doing it for you to give you, you know, an opportunity to come on the air uncensored about issues that are in the news or social issues. And we want to expand it and make it bigger, but we'll never be able to do that unless we get your support. I mean, look, you're happy to pay for Netflix, you're happy to pay for Sky. We're not asking you for very much. We're just asking you to donate. You know, we're not demanding that you give us like 30 quid a month or something like that. Or what did Netflix charge these days? 21 quid a month. And I understand Netflix is a good service. I get that. You know, we want to be a good service. We want to be a much bigger service. But we'll never be able to do that without your support. Never in a million years. I mean, RTE gets 160 quid of your money, doesn't it? You know, every other TV channel gets part of your money. Radio stations take advertising. We don't. And we don't do that purposely because what will happen is if we take an advertiser on, be it Lidl or Tesco's or Aldi or whatever it is, which we could easily get, by the way, because the amount of listeners that we have, we'll have their name and their logo up the top here. But then that what will happen is they will dictate what we can talk about. We'll be able to talk about trans people. We'll be able to talk about refugees because all those things are seen as controversial. And you're only allowed to have one opinion. And that's the left. So we're asking you to please help us. You're listening for free and you're watching it for free right now. Is that fair on us? And I'm sorry I'm being a bit harsh, but is it fair on us? There are some people who subscribe to us and thank you so much for those people who do that. There are one or two people who've donated to us as well. But it's not much. It doesn't pay the bills. We're coming close to the end of the month now. And again, we will have to pay some of the bills. We won't have enough to pay the bills. We don't get paid for doing it. We have our own full-time jobs. We do it because we love doing it and we want to turn it into something bigger. But you know, it's tough. It's tough when we end up having to put our own hands in our pockets every single month to pay the bills because it costs money to do this on a daily basis. So please support us. We're not asking for much. The price of a cup of coffee. Just go to our website. You can donate a fiver. $5.99 subscription a month if you want to do that. Or if you just want to do a one-off payment, just do that by clicking on the donate button. Or if you want to donate more, if you've got a big business and you want to support us and what we do and you want to support me to continue to make this bigger and better, and you want to make a larger donation, there's no restrictions, there's no limit to what you can donate. You can go onto that page and donate as much as you want. It's not an election. So please do that. And I would ask you to support us. If you can do it today, we'd really, really appreciate it. Our bills start coming in as and from Monday, which is the last week of the month. So please try and help us pay those bills this month. At least then, that's another month we don't have to worry about. Go to nileboylan.com, nileboylan.com, and you can do that. And thank you to everybody who supports us on a daily basis. We do have to come up with a newer model and a way of obviously generating some sort of money out of the show so we can pay the bills. Because leaving it to chance every month for people to donate to us, unfortunately, doesn't work and won't work for us. So please do support us. It's not a free service. Well, it is a free service because you're watching it for free now. But we couldn't continue to do it for free. You know what I mean? We just couldn't afford to do that because we're paying for it. Anyway, thank you. Support us. Go to our website, nileboylan.com. I'll talk to you again tomorrow at 12.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.